At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
Hey, everybody. We have a great show. We talked about our careers and our old jobs that we had and how we got started. Checked in with Kaylin.
Yeah. Yeah. We heard a little bit about Kaylin's first jobs. It was a really fun show. I think you'll enjoy it.
But first, Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of 1. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with privacy mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course, present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius, only you could find... Oh, there it is! Drawing Board or...
Miro! Our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
Made a decision. I'll face the sunniest side head on. I had a vision of what it might be like.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to For Crying Out Loud.
Yeah, it's our show. That's our show.
Hey, let's say hi to our people. We got Leslie, Stone with the Coughing, Alicia Escalante,
Aaron, who does? Amy, you're a cunt. Kelly, she's your aunt. Rebecca Lubinjo, cute. Ishan Vajpay is 40 under 40, 40 top under 20 under 40, whatever. Hot. You're doing good. You're Stephanie hot. Stinker Rinker, we're going to see her at our meetup.
Yay!
Gabby and Missy. Those
are they going to be there?
I don't know. They're going to surprise us. Colleen Skater Girl. Katarina, check your molar. Hero, we love you. Valerie hits it out of the park. Polly, we love your pancakes. Athena, we love your dancing. Elizabeth Williamson, you got a lot of kids. Rita rocks that bassinet. Jacob, you're so growly. Sandra, it's not easy being green. Ashley, you're chic AF. Krista, you make me wanna shoop. Doo-doo. Liz is sassy. Jennifer, get up. And Sarah, Stefano.
Stefano.
She's our paisano.
That's right.
Oh, and you have to talk about...
Let me send a thank you and a plug to Patrick from SelfieXMedia.com. He's the guy that does the 360 video that was at our barbecue and at Gina's wedding. If you want to check him out, look at his socials at SelfieXMedia. Check him out. He's a hoot to have at parties, that's for sure.
And I want to just give one more shout out to my friend Adam Lerner, because I'm loving my car. My VW.
Yeah. I was going to ask you.
What did I say it's called? My VW Tijuana.
You don't know what it's called?
Tijuana. I love my car so much, but the best thing is just having a broker. Just, you don't pay them.
Mm-hmm.
You don't pay them.
Right.
They get you a deal better than you would get at a car lot doing your own lease. They can do buy, whatever you want. Mm-hmm. So if you're in LA or anywhere like nearby us,
hit me up on Facebook. It's the way to go right now. That's what people are doing.
Oh my God. He literally picked out our car. I told him like what we needed and what the price had to come in at. And he got us a car. And like the next day or a day after, we literally filled out the credit app, and then he pulled up in a car and took away our old car.
That's awesome.
Yeah, sold our old car for more than the buy off. If we wanted to buy off the lease,
mm-hmm.
he got us a few thousand dollars more than that from his wholesaler, and then there's like we just get a check for that.
That's what they do.
Easy.
I know.
He already got one of our listeners literally wrote to me, and he already got her a car.
That's awesome.
Like it was like – and he said, oh, yeah, I just did it the next day.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, I love that.
Yeah, I know.
I love when stuff is easy.
Yeah,
it makes you go, why isn't everything like this?
I know. Yeah, that's what I did with my car, like I said, with my Tesla. Super easy.
Love it. Yeah, you got those texts like, okay, we're going to be here to just drop off your car. I love that.
I know.
I thought that was for rich, fancy people. I didn't know that was for regular people.
No, I had a loan. Suzanne did it too with her car. When you lease the car, you have the loan to pay whatever. Because there's a car shortage now, these brokers want to they'll buy the car from you. They'll take care of it.
Yeah, that's what Adam does.
Yeah. And that's what he did with my Tesla. He gave me a few thousand dollars more from what I would owe.
Yeah.
Why bring it back when you can make money?
Right.
And they'll take it off your hands and do everything.
Yeah. And a lot of places won't take the car. They won't give you. They won't buy. I don't know.
Right.
Like those Carvana places, they don't do it anymore.
That.
They
right.
don't do it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They don't buy your car and get you a bunch of money. Some laws have changed. I don't really know. But anyway, all I know is.
Yeah, what are we, car experts?
I felt so fancy.
Yeah.
I mean, we've used a broker for years, but the broker that we were using was like, yeah, there's just really no cars right now. And my friend Adam, like he's married to my really good friend, was just like, what? That's not true.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, our car broker told us all the cars are really expensive right now. He's like, no, they're not.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you just got to open your mind to a different car. Like I can get Subarus.
Yeah.
I can get VWs.
Like
I work with certain dealerships that are still making deals left and right. I can get you a good deal.
Yeah.
And he did. Anyway.
Free your mind.
And the rest will follow. Be colorblind. Don't be so shallow. Listen, we can't afford the rights to some of these songs.
Right, but we can still sing them out.
Right,
Kaylin? Why didn't we think of that?
Of course. We should sing them.
We should sing out.
Sing ourselves out. We should figure out what our song is going to be and just treat you guys to the vocal stylings.
Could you imagine?
So, Kaylin.
Hey.
What is happening with your jobs?
Like, Kaylin, you're supposed to say oi.
Oi.
You're hustling out there. We were having – Kaylin and I were talking before you got here about just like when you think you kind of want to do something, but then like when you're younger, but then mm-hmm. you start doing something, but then you're like, what else could I do? What else is fun? Right, Kaylin?
Yeah. We were talking about how I had been in just podcasting and producing podcasts for like 10 years.
Your whole adult life practically.
Yeah. And then I – left that, but I stayed here, of course, doing this show, and I also do the Water Cooler podcast, which is, you know, Loxamana and Matt Fondelier and Gary. We all hang out and just have fun. We still do that one. And so to make some extra money, I started working for Patrick Hickey from Corolla Drinks, and he does pond service, like in maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
So
where you kill fish.
I was like, some our fish, Patreon some people fish have know that. A little more about this. Uh-huh, go on.
So I started doing that, and I started really liking just working with my hands again and just like being outside and like, you know, getting a sweat going. It had been so long since I had actually done like labor, mm-hmm. you know, intensive work. And so I've been doing this podcast and the other one, and I've been helping Patrick out, and now I'm starting to get my own accounts where, you know, I'm just, Patrick's not even there, just, hey, go service these people's pond for an hour. And yeah, that's been really nice, and it's kind of also got me a little back into podcasting again. Now I'm like, I thought I was leaving that world going, no, you know, okay, I'm not really going to be doing podcasts, but now I can appreciate it a little more mm-hmm. now that I'm not just so bogged down with it all the time. I'm doing this one and the other one. And yeah, so right. I'm kind of liking both of those, and I have time to kind of explore like a third thing that I may want to do. So we were talking about how nice it is to just have multiple different hustles going all the time rather than just one continuous thing right. every day. And I've been really liking it. And yeah, I'm kind of, you know, maybe wanting to get into a little bit more podcast producing, maybe get into something else. I don't know. But it's nice to be doing aww. Two totally different things. One is, you know, much more like talking and, you know, having fun. The other one is just working with your hands. So it's nice. It's been nice for me to mix it up.
That's awesome. That's good. Good for you.
We were talking about how, like, I thought when well, I didn't know what I wanted to do. That's mm-hmm. why I didn't go to college, because I was like, I don't know. I don't want to just be in school longer not knowing what I want to do. Right. But then I had decided I really wanted to be stand-up. Mm-hmm. And then I really gave my all to stand-up. I mean, I was telling Kaylin that I was going to open mic night. Like, once I started, like, after the first time I did stand-up, I was like, okay, I'm all in. Like, every night trying to go get stage time. And then when I wasn't performing, I was like writing with friends, mm-hmm. like we're getting together, going to coffee late at night and writing and writing, trying to write jokes and like all in.
Right.
And at a certain point, and then I worked my way up to getting like little shitty gigs here and there. I'd be like, drive out to Oxnard and make, you know, $25 opening for somebody. But I did it, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I was a starving artist for sure, because I was mm-hmm. also waiting tables. And then, you know, I'd get a job where I'd have to be there at 6 a.m. to set up the salad bar.
Right.
And that would last like, you know, I'd have to be like, okay, like, because you yeah. don't want to say in the moment, you don't want to be like, yeah, no, yeah. that's going to be too early for me. Because they're like, okay, are you going to be available? Because everybody that gets a job here has to start doing some 6 a.m. shifts. So you're like, oh, yeah, of course, you know? you know, but then I come time to actually show up at 6 a.m. and I've just been out till like 1 doing right. stand up. I'm like, oh, hell no. So right. then I just wouldn't show up. Until right. like a week later when I'd have to bring back my shirt
yeah.
and get my final paycheck, which would be like $20. Anyway, but I was all in and I really worked hard and I thought, this is what I want to do for a living. Like right. I want to be a comic, you know? Mm-hmm. And then it just – at a certain point – and it sucked because I'd feel like I'd put so much energy into it. But I was like, do I really want to be a comedian? Like – what is the end game here?
Right.
I hadn't thought about that before, but I was like, I'm just going to go do gigs, like go, drive to San Jose and like mm-hmm. – and there's not a lot of work for female headliners. Like mm-hmm. there was a lot of work for male headliners at the time. There wasn't a ton. And then I started to think about how many female comics are really like that successful.
Right.
At the time, I'm like, okay, we got like Ellen yeah. DeGeneres, got a talk show. We're like Margaret Cho uh-huh. was like a working comedian. I'm like, you're either going to have to be an actress
right.
or get a talk show, which is like – that's not a normal goal to have. Right. Like, I'm going to be a talk show host.
Yeah.
I didn't really care.
Right.
So then I had to start, like you said, like thinking, what else could I do?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, I really like game shows and I yeah. really want to be a writer.
Mm-hmm.
So like then I set my sights on trying to get hired on a game show.
Right.
And then I feel like through the years I've figured lots of different ways – to feel creatively fulfilled.
Right.
And if right. you do a bunch of different things, I was like, you got to get your hustle
yes.
on, right?
Yeah. It's what like, my dad taught me. My dad was like, look, you know, listen, you're not going to college like your brother. So what, you know, what do you want to do? And I was like, well, I like working in television. I've always wanted to work in television. I didn't know where or how. I didn't have a connection. My dad worked at a television station. But by the time I came along and it was in my, 20s, he was already retired. So, you know, he was the one that was like, go to Samuel French Bookstore, get a list of all the production companies in Los Angeles, get your, you know, resume, get a formal letter, send it out to everybody. And that's what I did. And I got, you know, I'm looking for an entry level job. And
right.
And I got called at a television syndicated company in Agoura Hills and started there for a receptionist and then worked my way up.
But then when you were doing – like when you got to the point that you were doing like scheduling and like
yeah.
– were you like, I love this, or were you yes. like, what else do I want to do?
No. I mean, I knew – like I loved it. I was – even in the syndication department, in television sales, we were doing – we were selling real stories of the highway patrol, you know. I mean, just – like just syndicate – like offbeat syndicated shows. I can't even remember. Biker Mice from Mars was one. Yeah. So anyway, like but I loved it because we were going to the Nappy conventions every year. And like it was just great. And I was working. And then I became a sales assistant. And then that company got bought by New World, which was Brandon Tartikoff's company. And then we moved to Century City. And then it was like, oh, now we're in the big time. Now we're like at New World. And that's when we did Loveline syndicated. And that's how I met Adam. But like, yeah, it was like – and then – but I was there. But I loved it. But then I remember I wanted to work at a network, at a network and in scheduling. And but I didn't know anybody. I didn't know how it worked. And then I worked at Carsey Warner in syndication.
Right.
And then my boss there, anyway, got me an entry-level job an interview, an informational interview with Wendell Foster, who became my boss at ABC. And then, like, went and met him, told me – he explained to me what scheduling was. And he said, I'll keep you in mind if we ever have an opening, which, you know, I don't know how often – scheduling department's very little. Anyway, 2 months later, he called. He got his assistant got promoted, and he needed an assistant, and that was that. And I loved it. I was going to the pilot screenings. I was reading scripts on the weekend. I mean, it was like, oh my God, I'm working at a network. You know, we're going to like these Pasadena press tours and stuff. Mm-hmm. It was great, and just loved it. And then, but my dad always was like, you know, just. What is your passion? It's funny because I was going to bring this. I went to the school the other night. They had a back to school – or not a back to
– Yeah, back to school night.
No, it wasn't back to school night. It was one of the counselors is going to talk about your – like looking into colleges. Like
okay.
Where to begin, how to start,
right.
Blah, blah, blah. There's an app that the school uses, how to learn how to use that app.
Is it called Naviance?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
No, it's called SCORE or something like that.
Okay.
So it was great. Natalia should have been there with me, but she was at practice. So I sat way in the back, took a lot of notes. But it was like they were like, find out what your kid's passionate about. And I'm like, you know, how do you find – like how do you – like most kids don't know – they're going off to college, don't know what they're passionate about or what – they think they kind of know, but they don't. And it's like, how do you find what it is that they love? You know, I don't know. Natalia's passionate about socializing, you know. And
that's how I felt though.
Right.
Like when I was a kid, I was like, I like talking to people.
Right.
You know, but what's that job?
Yeah, exactly.
You know? And then I liked watching game shows. So when I was thinking like I want to write for TV, but it seemed hard – to write for sitcoms. I was like,
yeah.
This was my thinking. I'm like, I don't want to do anything that requires like a lot of work.
Right.
Like, I want to do something that there's shortcuts involved. Because
mm-hmm.
I think I told you that story that I had a boyfriend who was working for MTV at the time. And I told him I wanted to write for TV. And he was like, oh, well, you have to start by – you can't just get a job writing for TV even if you have scripts.
Yeah.
You have to start as a writer's assistant. And I was like, oh,
now,
no.
Now I'm out. Yeah.
I was like, nobody's going to tolerate my attitude. Like
mm-hmm.
I have the resting bitch face.
Right.
Somebody's like, did you get that down? They're going to see that I'm going to get fired so quickly,
right.
No matter what no matter how hard I try.
Right.
So I was like, it's not going to happen that way. Mm-hmm. So therefore, I was like, well, in that case, why bother trying to learn how to write a spec script?
Right.
Because I'm not going to get that job anyway.
Right.
So I was like, well, what else could I do?
Right.
And that's when I was like, oh, some of these dating shows, I like watching dating shows. And I got myself a job. Talk about being a hustler.
Mm-hmm.
I got a job working for love connection.
Yeah.
I think I told you that. But I was like only like 19. Mm. So I got a job as a stringer, which just meant I guess I must have seen an ad.
Mm-hmm.
I think I saw an ad in the paper and I called up and they gave me a job, but it was like a sales job. It was basically going and finding them contestants.
Uh-huh.
So then I was like, well, that's fun. I want to work in the contestant department.
Right.
Which, by the way, still sounds kind of fun.
It does sound fun.
I wouldn't mind that. I wouldn't have minded being in casting.
Yeah.
I think I'd be good at that.
Yeah.
But then I got a job writing eventually.
Right.
And then I was like, this is super – like whatever mm-hmm. I do, I feel like if it's not super fun, I'm like,
right.
Never mind.
Out. I know.
I like – right? Work should be fun.
Yes, it should. Absolutely. Yeah. I agree. Yeah. It's a – you know, and then when you got kids, it's like, how do you help them find what their passion is? When their passion is, you know.
I feel like it might come – like, okay, for Elbie, mm-hmm. she loves her job.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as we know, she's a naturally upbeat person, so mm-hmm. that's not that hard for her to love what she's doing. She rarely doesn't like what she's doing. But the laser tag place is like – you could tell that was going to be a fun place to work. So,
right.
And she likes to talk to people and she's also like good at acting.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew that it involved briefing games and standing yeah. in front of people. And I told her, you'd be good at that, you know?
Right.
And then when she did the application, they wanted people that are funny and fun.
Right.
You know, so she got to.
Perfect.
And so I feel like, you know, I was like, she's not going to be a kid who's going to, no one's going to enjoy working at like McDonald's.
Yeah. Right.
As we know, it's freaking hard.
I know.
And you get bossed around so much. And I'm like, you know, if you know, you know.
Right.
You know, you're not going to last at a job like that. Don't take it. I got fired from Burger King.
Right. Right.
I'm glad I know myself.
Time to lean. Time to clean. Yeah. Yeah. No, I know.
Time to lean. Time to say, see you later.
See you later. Yeah. No, I don't want the fast food thing. It's just a calorie burner. It's like, and especially with Sunny, like, what do you like to do and start now doing it then, you know? Like, I think I told you that one of the counselors at school said they can do it. They have intern programs with like the studios. You know, that would be a great, like, you know, maybe in his senior year he can have an internship. That would be awesome.
Be a runner.
Yeah.
Be a PA. He could get PA work as a kid.
Oh, yeah. Totally. And he's interested in that now. So, like, now I'm starting to talk to him more and more about that. I always think one of them should do, like, the tour guide at Universal Studios.
Yes.
Yeah. They'd be good at that.
I feel like Elbie would be good at that.
Yeah,
too.
I was just going to say Elbie would be good at that.
Yeah. And see, there's a lot of these types of jobs that are good for – they could be good for teenagers. They can be good mm-hmm. for you if you're in your early 20s and you're figuring out what you want to do. Like, and it kind of opens doors and you meet people.
Yep.
And by the way, like no slam on working in fast food because it does teach you responsibility and you get a paycheck and you can work your way up. And there's a lot of opportunities for there.
Yeah.
Like for my personality, it wasn't good.
I know. And I know my kids are – there's just – yeah.
I actually went through both of those. I mean, I didn't work at a fast food place. I worked at Coffee Bean, which was actually
Kaylin Bean.
Yeah. It was me and then one of my coworkers was named Dan Starbuck, too.
No
I had a coworker named that. Yeah, Coffee Bean. And so Coffee Bean, which was actually really fun when you were working with cool people.
Uh-huh.
Like, it was just miserable when you had, you know, boring people to work with. But when I had fun people to work with, I really enjoyed working there. But at the same time, I was doing, like, I was interning as a production assistant, and I was doing all that. So, yeah, it's definitely doable.
I think any job's fun if you have, like, good employees that you're working with, like, coworkers, you know.
I just feel like there's certain jobs, like, let's say you get a job at Target. There's certain mm-hmm. jobs that attract younger people working there that I think mm-hmm. could be fun for younger people.
Right.
Right? Like, let's say working at an amusement park.
Right.
You're probably not going to work with a bunch of really boring, straight-laced 40-year-olds.
Right.
At Magic Mountain.
Yeah.
Therefore, that could be like a fun job for a teenager. You know, you're probably hanging out with your – I always see the kids working the roller coasters, like just joking around with each other and being fun. And like it seems like they're having fun.
Yeah.
If we lived closer, I would
That'd
have suggested
fun,
that.
That's what my brother does in England, my younger brother. He works at amusement parks.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But he works in the kind of – like the medical team. So but still, he really enjoys it, and he can go in for free, and he likes it a lot. So
Natalia wanted to be a like work at Disneyland. I don't know how she's going to get there. She's got to get her license first, but yeah, maybe she'll get a job. But I don't know. Like Natalia, you know, she's busy with volleyball pretty much the whole year because school's ending soon, and then club starts like beginning of November and goes to like June.
Yeah, it's hard. I think it's hard to get a job when you're if you're super involved in something like that.
Yeah, but
should we talk about Bombas?
Yeah,
their mission is simple: make the most comfortable clothes ever and match every item sold with an equal item donated. So when you buy Bombas, you're also giving to someone in need. By the way. Hello.
Mm-hmm.
Bombas socks on right now. What color are these Bombas socks?
Hot pink.
Yep. I'm wearing my hot pink. They're they're booties.
Yeah.
The booties.
Yeah.
I am telling you that I go into my sock drawer. I have a few old pairs of socks when none of my Bombas are available.
Mm-hmm.
And I always am like, oh, no.
I know. I keep them from last because they're stretched out. There's no elasticity.
I have socks with holes in them.
Yeah, I know.
Bombas socks do not get holes in them.
No.
Have you noticed that?
Yeah, I know. We've had these Bombas socks for years now.
Yeah, they have no holes. They're still just as thick. They feel so comfortable. When I walk the dog and I go for a long walk, I'm always happy to have my Bombas socks on because they add that extra like cushion and support.
Yeah.
And they also are designed to never fall down.
So that's nice. Yeah.
So you don't ever feel like you have to pull them up.
Right.
They don't lose the elastic, so you don't ever feel like you have to reach into your shoe and pull your sock up, which is so annoying.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and they also have T-shirts.
They have underwears, T-shirts, yes. And then, like we said, they donate to the homeless shelter.
Yeah. So go to bombas.com/FCOL to get 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/FCOL for 20% off. Bombas.com/FCOL.
Also, Bonafide, you know, going to get my hormones checked today at the doctor. But, you know, I've been taking Bonafide. I've been getting this sent to my house regularly because I take the one for – they have four different formulas. They have one for vaginal dryness. They have one for that supports the sexually active woman. They have one for the vaginal itching and discharge. And then they have one for the hot flashes. And I have noticed a huge difference. I am staying cool at night. And the thing that I like about Bonafide is there's no hormones and no prescription required. So you can give Bonafide a try today with no hormones, no prescription required, real relief without compromise. To get 20% off your first purchase when you subscribe to any product, go to hellobonafide.com/FCOL. Use the promo code FCOL. That's hello, bonafide.com/FCOL. Code FCOL for 20% off at checkout. For best prices and free shipping, go directly to their hellobonafide.com/FCOL website. This is their best offer anywhere, so check it out and use the promo code FCOL.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Coffee Bean was fun, though? You liked working there?
Yeah, I really enjoyed working at Coffee Bean. It's funny because, so I think I've told this story before. It's been a while. I was 16 and just playing a bunch of video games. Like, I love video games, so I'd stay home every weekend and just play nonstop. And one day my parents just barged in my room and said, "You're getting a job." And they said, "Where do you want to work?" And I said, "I either want to work at Blockbuster or Coffee Bean." So they're like, "All right, well, we're gonna go look around." And then they came back and said, "Well, you can't work at Blockbuster because you have to be 18, but there's a job fair for Coffee Bean going on." And the reason I wanted to work at Coffee Bean is because I love their vanilla ice blended.
Oh.
It was my favorite drink ever growing up. And I went to the job fair, got a job, started working there, and a month later, they completely changed how they made the vanilla ice blended.
Oh, no.
And I couldn't stand it afterwards.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Did you ask them, like, since you you say what's the old recipe?
Yeah, so they had this old recipe where it was kind of more like a milkshake than a coffee drink. When they updated it, it was like they used, like, espresso shots, kind of. But they had the old formula. And the old formula, like, they had a bunch of old ones that they kind of use here and there. And I would take as many of them as I could. And at one point, they created like an ice blended pack where they had the old formula, and I would just take that home, and I hung on to those packs of that coffee for as long as I could, and then eventually they all just went away.
Aww. Wow. How long did you work there?
It's like 6 years.
Oh wow. Yeah.
Well, I was working there, and so I was doing that, and I was going to school. I was going to college at Santa Monica.
You were 16.
Yeah, and I was also doing the production work like that. So they would come to me every once in a while and say, like, hey, do you want to be like a shift supervisor? And I'd be like, no, that's okay.
Yeah.
That's too much responsibility. Yeah. I like doing these other things.
Right, right.
So I just hung around doing that, and then I eventually started working Corolla Digital, and I was like, all right, time for me to leave Coffee Bean then.
Wow.
That's hilarious.
So funny.
And school.
I would have loved to be a shift supervisor. Like, to me, I was all about, like, why doesn't anybody want to give me responsibility? Like, I want to boss people around so bad. I had all these visions of myself. I'm like, oh my God, I'd be the best boss. Like,
right.
I'd be bossy, you know, because I know what I'm like. I want to be in control. But at the same time, I'd be very like magnanimous. Like, you know, oh, you need a day off? Okay, of course.
Yes.
You know, I'd be, you know, I'm just going to be everyone's favorite boss.
Right, right.
But no one ever gave me a position of authority, ever. I don't know if I've ever had a position of authority. I'm telling you, because every show, every TV show I worked on, I was never the head writer.
Mm-hmm.
The only time I've ever been the boss is, but I wasn't even really the boss, was when I had a TV show. And I was only the boss by default because I was the star of the show.
Mm-hmm.
So people treated me like they asked me permission for a lot of stuff, but I'd always be like, I guess. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
right.
But I still wasn't like the boss because Hugh Fink, my co-EP, he was the boss of, like, the writers. Like, I, even as the co-EP of the show and the star, I couldn't, like, walk into the writer's room and be like, hey, I'm going to need everybody to stay.
Yeah,
like, we're all going
right.
to have to, like, really pitch in. Like, no, that wasn't – they would have been like
– I know. What?
Bitch.
Yeah.
Please.
I am not a good boss. Right, Kaylin? I mean, I let – like, I, what I – was Gina Kimmel and I had that day spa.
Right.
And I hired bad – like, I hired my nieces, Jackie and Crystal.
Right.
And I'm like – and they're like, Antoinette, we're not feeling well. Can we stay home? Or, Antoinette, can we order lunch? Can we get sushi for lunch? Like, sure. Go ahead, order up. You want to stay home? Stay home. Do you think maybe you could, like, help me with, like, figure this thing out on my computer? Well, I got to leave by 6. Like, all right, just give me 5 minutes and then you can go. Like, I'm the worst.
Me too. I would
the
be,
worst.
Yeah, because I'll just do everything myself.
Yes. Yes. Because it's a lot easier to just do it yourself. And then it's like, I mean, I can't tell you every single day, Gina and I were just ordering lunches and like feeding everybody and like, oh, you want to go home? Me and Gina, like back staying there until like, you know, until 10 o'clock at night doing the bookkeeping and stuff. Because I want to make Jackie drive home all the way to Canyon Country at 8 o'clock at night. And it's dark and it's far. Jackie, you go home. We'll stay. Like, so stupid.
That's so funny.
The worst.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it would be hard. I would have trouble having, like, my own business in that way because, yeah.
It was
I'm also not a great judge of character. Like, I think I could be easily swayed in job interviews. Like, people would say what I want to hear.
Right.
And I'd be like, this person seems great.
I know.
Hired. You're hired.
Yes.
And then a week in, I'd be like, they're kind of an asshole.
I know.
Well, I can't just fire them.
Yeah. I mean, that's how we met Jody, you know, like we were looking for an assistant and we put an ad on Craigslist and we interviewed like maybe 6 people. She was the last one and she was like, yeah, I don't know. What do you guys need? And we're like, we just need somebody to help us keep on. Like, I remember asking, I go, how good are you at Home Depot? Can you like go to Home Depot? If, like, you know, my husband asks me to go to Home Depot a lot. Do you know how to find like trellis for the fence if I asked you to? She's like, yeah, I can figure it out. We're like, all right. And then she was like, yeah, I live with my best friend and my grandmother. She's my best friend. She's like 95 years old.
Wait, her grandma's her best friend or she lives with her best friend and her grandma?
Her grandmother is her best friend.
Oh, gosh.
I know. And we were like, oh, cute. All right, you're hired. And then she became like my best friend. you know, through even when she was working there.
She just tossed her grandma to the side.
Yes. I know.
She's like, no, we can still be like acquaintances.
Right.
But I got a new best friend.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, like, it just, I was always just like friends with everybody that I work with. It's, yeah, I'm not, like, I feel like Patrick's my boss with Corolla Drinks. Like, I'm scared sometimes, like, of, hey, can I call in tonight? Do I have to be at the meeting on Wednesday? Can I just call in, you know?
Yeah.
You know, or what, how long until you're getting here, Lynette? You know, like that kind of, you know, I'm like, all right, I'll be there soon, you know.
You know,
I'm not a good.
You know what's funny, though, is so when I was doing Parental Discretion, I don't know if I've ever told this story on the air. And he never listens to the show. Mm. But so I love Hugh. He was he was my friend.
I love Hugh, too.
Yeah. He was. But, you know, there is a downside to giving people like authority over you.
Yeah.
To because Hugh was the EP of the show.
Right.
We'd worked on it together and developed it together. I mean, we should have been really kind of equals. Mm-hmm. He came to me and said, hey, you know, there's this network and they're looking to do some mom programming. And I know you wrote a book and like you know, and he's like, I want to pitch this show that's like the Daily Show, but for moms.
Yeah.
Like news of the day and we'll get stuff that's going. And I was like, oh, OK, yeah, that sounds good. So we pitched the show and they're like, yeah, OK, but we kind of want to make it more like this other thing.
Mm-hmm.
So then I had to come up with a bunch of ideas and Hugh and I had a bunch of meetings and eventually the show was totally different than what he pitched.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really both of us. So then I had to argue for like as a producer, mm-hmm, for co-EP credit.
Right.
Anyway, so all that happened. So then we're working on the show. And even though I was kind of the boss,
mm-hmm,
Hugh started kind of taking advantage a little bit of like,
uh-oh,
you know, like at one point he got upset with me. I feel like, am I going to get in trouble for telling this story? Okay, it doesn't really matter. It was like a long time ago. But, mm-hmm, okay, so I was having to do a lot of, you remember, we were podcasting at the time.
Right.
I'd have to go off and do like
at
the track, yeah, like go to the racetrack and like drive a car and it would be, and I'd have to talk to people and I was using a lot of like improv skills.
Right.
Like they would write me funny stuff to say to people, but mm-hmm, a lot of it is in the moment.
Yeah.
You can't just read a script.
Right.
You got to be talking to somebody and making jokes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there were some bits where I would literally be just, we would pull people aside and it would be like I'd go to like a toy store.
Right.
And like have to do man on the street basically, mm-hmm, for 5 hours.
Just, right.
They'd pull, hey, can I talk to you about parenting philosophy?
Yeah.
Like, what's your parenting philosophy? And then, okay, super tiring.
Right.
If I had to do those and we were on a very small budget and we were having to cram all of our production days together. So at one point, I was getting booked like back to back of these shifts where I was on my feet all day, mm-hmm, trying to talk to people. I would be so exhausted. Plus, I had like, I believe like either 2 4-year-olds,
yeah,
and a 7-year-old at home.
Mm-hmm.
I had little kids,
yeah,
at home.
Mm-hmm.
And John was like, dude, like alone with the kids a lot.
Right.
And I'd be like, I'm sorry. I have
right.
to, you know.
Right.
Anyway, one point, Hugh, like I said in a production meeting, I was like, hey, so I'm going to need us to not book me any man on the street stuff back to back.
Yeah.
Like I need a day off in between those kind of shoots.
Mm-hmm.
And
they will work, and they're on a production schedule. They'll work you to the bone.
They sure will. And then Hugh made a comment to me, like if you don't think you can handle it or something. Like somehow he made, I don't want to say a threatening comment, but he was being like a boss. Like he was like, yeah, well, you know, you're going to need to like. It's hard work,
right,
having a TV show or something. And I was like, bitch, I know that. Like,
right,
you know. Then he called me into a meeting with him and one of the other co-EPs,
mm-hmm,
and like was going to like have a talk with me about
what?
Not speaking to the production. Like, I don't get to have a say. And like I went home. I was fucking fuming mad.
Right.
And I cried to John.
Mm-hmm.
And John was like, okay, no.
Right.
Like, no. He's not your boss.
Right.
He's your co. You guys are together. You guys both pitched the show. You have ceded your power.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's like basically told me I'm being a woman. and like allowing a man to like have all the power and I need to like put him in his place.
Right.
And he's like, you need to, in a nice way, you need to call him and you need to go like, hey, this is not going to fly.
Right.
You can say it nicely. And he like basically sat next to me and I called. Of course I started crying.
Right.
He's like, of course. One way to show that you're not being like a typical woman is to just immediately cry. That always is great. No, but I was like, hey, I want to talk to you.
Yeah.
That was not okay. Like,
right.
You yeah, can't
don't
like
fucking
I
call you into the office and have a hash you you know settle
no.
your hash fuck
no.
that
yeah. And I was like, by the way, you're not my boss,
right?
Like, we're equals, we're working together, and I expect you to have my back,
right?
Like, and if the person who is doing a lot of the heavy lifting is in terms of the performing is telling you, if I'm telling you I can't handle something, that your response is not to say, no, you're going to do it anyway. It's to figure – help me figure out
yes.
how I'm going to feel good.
Right.
And then I had to – of course, I was like, I work really hard. I say yes to everything. Mm-hmm. I understand. I'm very grateful for this opportunity. I'm no diva.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how dare
right,
you?
Right, right.
How dare you act like I'm just not willing to work
right.
hard? And – he was like, oh, I'm really sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're right. Like, I should have your back. And I was like, yeah. And don't talk shit about me
right.
to, like, to the other co-exec. Like, I don't want to have to feel like when I come to work, like, people, you're talking
yeah,
shit about me.
Good.
That I'm not willing to work hard.
Yeah, fuck
and then
that.
I started getting like, yeah.
yeah.
And then, you know what? It was after that. I mean, he and I butted heads a couple of times.
Yeah.
And I heard him out, mm-hmm. and then he heard me out, and then we
– right.
You know, there were certain things that he wanted to do that I just wasn't really willing
right.
to do.
Right,
one of them was this bit that he – so we didn't have a lot of money in the budget, and that we had to come up with a thing. And he wanted me to do a bit where we would bring up somebody from the audience. It was basically he wanted me to do something that wasn't written.
Right.
And I was like – these things always – this is not a good thing to do on a taped television show when
right.
you have all these producers, you have all your cameramen, and you don't know how this is going to go. It could suck.
Right.
Like, audience members are not always hilarious.
No.
Or sometimes the worst is when they try to be hilarious.
Right.
And then that's just not going to be a yeah. good bit. And I don't want to do something that I don't know where it's going or how it's going to end or just dependent on
I
the audience being
that.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, but we don't really have money. We don't – we can't – we only have so many writers and we can't do these. And I was like, well, then we have to come up with a compromise because I'm just not going to be out there
right.
doing improv. I suck at
right,
improv.
Right, right, right. Yeah.
I'm terrible at it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to like – you can't bank on me. I'm not Drew Carey. I'm not
right.
going to like just come up with like some freaking hilariousness.
Right, right. Well, you know, I think too it's tough when – I've run into this problem before. Like just even when you're working with creative people – another creative person – I don't even consider myself creative, but like when two creative people work together, there's gonna be butting heads.
Yeah.
You know, like I like Dylan will write a commercial or something and I'll go, ah, I don't know. Can you change that? You don't need, you know, and then I go and listen to it and it's exactly the same. Nothing was changed. They went and did however they were going to do it because they think they know what's better, you know?
Right.
It's just that's, yeah, he's a creative guy. You're a creative person, but. Yeah, it's then you have to work in a compromise. Yeah. You should hear all the fights between like Jimmy and like, well, Adam would take a back seat, but Jimmy and Daniel would go at it.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Like, oh, this is not going to work. It's never going to work.
Like
oh,
for the man show, you
yeah,
mean?
During the man show days. Like, you know. And
were they also the EPs of their own show?
Yeah, they were the executive producers. And they so it was the three of them. And so Adam would always take the back seat because he's like me as like the confrontation and just, all right, you two like – but he would get frustrated, come home and go, I pitched this idea, and they were both laughed at me like, ha, it's never going to work, you know, like blah, 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 blah. So, yeah, it's just – it's
– So Jimmy would fight with Daniel though?
Oh, those two would fight all the time, yeah.
Did anybody ever get mad and like storm off the
set? Never. No. No. They would fuck with each other. And they're like guys, you know. You punch each other in the face and then they're bros again, you know.
Right.
They never were like – pissed off or never like, oh, I'm not coming into work or anything like that. They really and genuinely enjoyed working with each other. But yeah, they were always – Adam would tell me all the time like, oh, they got into it today and blah, blah, blah. And now they're at a standstill and like – it was just – yeah. And so that happens, you know, like
And it's kind of – it's extra hard when you're trapped on a show.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say trapped. That sounds so negative. But when you're on a show with deadlines and,
right.
like, you can't – you don't have time to just really not see eye to eye.
Right.
But there – yeah, there were quite a few things that I did not see eye to eye with the creative direction. And I – you can't just be like, well, I'm the boss. I'm the star of the
right.
show. So you're going to do it like this. You have to be like, you know, I'm thinking that it's possible that this one thing, it just seems maybe too negative. Like, is there
yeah.
a way that we could, when meanwhile in my mind, I'm like, this is the worst bit. It
right.
sucks. We
right.
need to just eliminate it. But
right.
you can't just be like, well, this sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
At the beginning with the writers, I thought I could kind of go like, yeah, I'm not sure that this is like something I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but I was a little too blunt apparently because
right.
Hugh then was like, you can't talk to the writers that way. You can't just be like this. You're basically saying like this isn't good. And I was like, I didn't say it's not good. I just said it's not my voice. Like it's not something I would say.
Right.
And he was like, well, you got to give it time. Like we're not really even that close to shooting. And I was like, okay, but they
yeah.
got to adjust for the fact that like right now this is cheesy as shit. Like,
right.
I'm
yeah.
not,
yeah. That's another hard part when you have people writing and you're trying to write in your voice. Yeah, I mean, that's tough too. Like, my nephew Anthony worked in the writer room at Jimmy Kimmel Live, and it's very hard, you know, like they'll have to sit there and pitch all these different ideas and bits and stuff like that. And Jimmy only uses like maybe one. He ends up doing his own thing all, you know, most of the time. Like, it's not as easy as you think. And it's hard when you're the boss, but then you're also trying to like encourage people to keep coming with bits. But then when you're like, you know, Anthony will tell me like so-and-so never, ever gets anything put on. Never anything gets on to air. But it's like eventually you just collect a paycheck and go home and just hope for the best. Like years that person's been there and that never made anything on air, you know.
And they don't get fired?
No. I mean, I don't know. But like, no. After years of being there and stuff, yeah.
When I used to work on Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Love that show.
So we would have to write these things for Drew. So Drew Carey was the host.
Mm-hmm.
And he had this thing that he would say, like, the points don't matter. The points are like, then he'd have to come up with a metaphor for the points not mattering. Like, and then, so like when I got the job, I had to submit pages of like, the points don't matter. The points are like a wine menu at IHOP.
Uh-huh.
Like, okay,
right.
So you had to come up with a bunch of those. Well, and then you had to come up with scenarios, and the scenarios had to be like really specific but crazy. Like it couldn't just be like you're two marine biologists fighting over what to do with a whale. It had to be like you're two marine biologists who got trapped in an underwater thing and you're running out of oxygen, but you have to solve this problem or like –
Jesus
like
Christ.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And you had to figure out the voice of the show. And the voice of the show was whatever the freaking EP, who
right.
was this guy from this British guy.
Michael Davies? Was it Michael Davies?
Maybe.
I think it was Michael Davies.
Yeah, but this was – no, his name was Dan. Dan – it wasn't – Michael Davies was probably our big boss. But
right.
this was like the EP
yeah.
of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Dan. His name is Dan. I can't remember his last name. But – There was like this – I don't know if they were a team. There were two writers in this one office. So here's the thing. You shared – we had a data sharing software.
Mm-hmm.
So you input your stuff into a shared thing. So basically you could see everybody else's what they submitted.
Right.
And every day you'd come in. You'd submit all your stuff. You had like a quota.
Mm-hmm.
Like you got to do 20 points don't matters, 20 – of these scenarios
right.
for this person and 20 of something else. Okay, so you'd do that. And then the next day you'd come in and you'd go into your document. You'd go in and you'd see. And if they didn't like something, it would have a red K next to it for killed.
Oh, God.
So you'd come in and you'd, you know, if you
confidence
got,
killed.
Confidence killer, yeah. So you'd come in and you'd see if you saw like just a bunch of red Ks, it's not
no.
a good feeling,
no,
you know?
No.
Even though, like what you're saying, even if you got one in,
mm-hmm.
chances were not high they'd end up using it.
Right.
You know, so because everybody would – it would just meant that it made the next cut of things
yeah.
that might possibly be put in a script.
Right.
Well, there was this one woman. Her name was Colleen. Oh, my God. Like, every day. It was just like – it had to have been embarrassing for her. Every day we'd be like, did Colleen get anything in? Because she'd submit like 40, 50 things. K. Just all red K's. And you did know, like, if somebody was just constantly getting red K's, like, they were not long for the job.
Right.
Like, and I remember we were all like, Colleen's getting fired. Like,
Colleen's getting K'd.
Colleen's getting a red K next to her name on the
that's
staff
horrible.
Sheet. Yeah, but it was like the worst was just knowing that everybody else knew your business.
Right.
Like, everybody, because that's all we did was compare.
Yeah, of course.
Like, you'd come in the morning, you'd be like, oh, shoot, I only got like 8 things in.
Right.
And then you'd go like, let me see how Danny did. Let me see how Colleen did. Let me
see how
– yeah. And then you'd be like, okay, this person got all red K. Like, oh, God, this person is doing terrible.
Right.
Yeah.
You wonder how they get the job in the first place.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough. It's a dog-eat-dog world.
It sure is. This is super fun. Listen, we only have two what do you call it? Patreon people at the $50 two left.
Oh.
If you want your business shouted out, by the way, on our show, it is so inexpensive. It's $50 a month, and you get 4 shout-outs a month for your business. And I'm telling you, all of our people will tell you that they have gotten business this way. Especially Basic Becky, who Becky Barris, she wants you to know that start getting your orders in now for the holidays. Because she requires a 2-week turnaround. So if you want some Halloween stuff, Halloween t-shirts,
that's good.
Get on it.
Yeah.
You know, you want – because she gets really busy around these types of holidays.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And so she needs 2 weeks. So go to justbasicbecky.com and get going on. Also, she has a bunch of new designs. So if you go to justbasicbecky.com, you can look through some of the stuff that she already has, some find some funny shirts or something that you want. You can do that. And as you know, you can also come up with your own. And also, our girls, Katie and Tiffany with the Bittersweet Life podcast, get those like fun insider tips. They talk all about like they've both taken huge chances in life, moved to a complete other country.
Yeah.
Talk about like in the theme of today's show.
Absolutely.
Hustlers, just like, hey, I don't like where I'm living. I'm going to go try something totally different, making stuff work. And they can – they're like an inspiring
they
podcast
very
for
inspiring.
If you want to make like a change in your life.
Yeah.
Do it. So listen to the Bittersweet Life podcast. Mm. And that's it. Thank you, Kaylin.
Thanks, Kaylin. We'll see you guys in Palm Springs in just a few weeks.
Oh, my God. October 8th. Email Kelly at WilmaandFrieda@gmail.com. It's also on our Facebook page. So even if you're not on Facebook, you can just go to Facebook and look. You don't have to be a – well, I guess you
– You do.
Yeah, you do. You have to join. Join the Facebook group. It's FCOL. Reel it in. Join our Facebook group and get all the deets.
All right, you guys. Love you.
You're a parent now.
Don't F it up.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com.
Saddle up and get ready for Westerns Weeks on Pluto TV. All for free. We're coming in blazing with favorites like True Grit and Once Upon a Time in Mexico. Or immerse yourself in binge-worthy series like Yellowstone and Walker, Texas Ranger. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of channels with thousands more movies, TV shows, and more. The best part? It's free. No credit card, no sign-up, no fees. Download the Pluto TV app on all your favorite devices and start streaming now.
Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online, at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast. So you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.